But sometimes you may have children where the fruit is reaped later. It's just reaped later. But that doesn't mean that what you're implanting in them in the early stages of their life is without effect. It means that God has been working all those 19 years. He's been working for 19 years. That's just what that means. He's been working for 19 years.
There's a guy that he talked about ministry, and he called it a long obedience in one direction. But I was just thinking that seems like the exact same thing for parenting. Mm. It's a long obedience in one
direction. That's good, Andrew.
Yeah. And so it's just like Amen. Towards Christ, day after day after day after day after day.
Amen.
That's not the American...
No.
I mean, like, not our generation's American mindset.
That's right.
It was like in the old days, but, I mean, now it's like, you know,
possible. That's right. That's
and
good.
I got to tell you, somebody said something, and I probably saw it on a dumb movie, but it said, all of a sudden, my heart was now outside of my chest when my child was born, and it is true. You know, all of a sudden, your heart is living outside your chest in these little people, and all you want for them is what God has for them. And then when you see them doing the things that God doesn't have for them, it shreds you. It shreds you. But that's what's so wonderful about God and His Word, is He loves them so much more than we do. And so He's going to pursue them so much harder than any of your words could, any of your great conversations could do. In a moment, the Holy Spirit can do something absolutely amazing. In just a moment, when a three-hour conversation can do nothing. So that's what's so amazing about just being obedient to the Lord and walking the way He's telling you to walk as a parent. I'm sorry, am I talking too much?
No, that's fine. And a three-hour conversation can actually do damage, and we're going to talk about that in a little bit. So
Depends on the conversation.
You can actually do harm with that as well. Philippians chapter 3, I want to read this before I read his quote. Philippians chapter 3, starting in verse 12. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me His own. Now, this is Paul. This is Paul saying this. Hmm. And it's funny. We read this from Paul and we think, wow, that's so godly. That's awesome. And I understand that. But then somehow it doesn't apply to our kids. You know, why aren't you perfect? Why haven't you gotten this? Why haven't you figured this out? I've been whipping your butt for weeks now, you know, and this, you're still doing the same thing, you know. But Paul says, not that I've already obtained this or I'm already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me His own. Boy, man, that's awesome.
Amen.
And that's what Jesus is working to do in our kids, is to make them His own. And all we're supposed to be doing is
facilitating that,
being an ambassador to help that happen, right? Yeah. To help them become His own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it, that I have made it my own. I do not consider that I have made it my own. I think I may have cut and pasted that wrong. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that to you also. And may it be so for us in our parenting. Mm-hmm. On page 86, the bottom of page 86, he says, here the gospel of Jesus Christ provides the ultimate model of what God has called us to as parents. Think about how God the Father works change into our lives as His children. Because of the complete work of Jesus, we are welcomed into God's family with all the rights and privileges of being His children. We have been fully justified and completely accepted, but we are not complete because there is a massive change that needs to take place in us. Let me say it this way. The power of sin has been broken, but the presence of sin still remains and will be progressively eradicated. Sanctification. The most important word in the last sentence is progressively. Here's what is important to understand. The Father's work of justification is an event But his work of transformation is literally a lifelong process.
Amen.
When justifying you, God is fully aware that he is committing himself to a day-by-day process of illumining, confronting, convicting, forgiving, transforming, and delivering grace. I love how Paul characterizes this process in 1 Timothy 1:16. But I receive mercy for this reason, that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life.
I love this part. When
Paul is saying, because I am the worst of all sinners, Jesus will be able to use me as a case study of how patient he is able and willing to be as he does his work of grace.
Mm-hmm.
So those who need to entrust themselves to the Father will be encouraged by the extent of his patience.
I've never thought of it that way, y'all.
And
isn't that wonderful?
And I'll say this, that the most transforming thing that will happen in your kids' lives will happen because you exhibit that same thing to them. Mm-hmm. It'll be the most transforming thing in their lives to reveal the Father and reveal the love of Christ in their lives is when you exhibit that. I promise you, and I'm talking about when they're a teenager. I'm talking about when it all seems lost and hopeless and you think there is no... Those are the words that will come out of their mouths and that will set your soul free, and you will say yes, is when they see that, when they see that in the Father, when they see that in Jesus Christ, because of how you've been working in their lives, how you've allowed the Lord to use you in their lives.
Can I interject something real quick?
Yeah.
I'm so glad that you went to Philippians 3, because this scripture I've had to claim many, many times. And you know, we think about how Peter writes to us that all scripture is God breathed and useful for reproof and instruction and encouragement. And, you know, it's basically our legal precedent for a life in Christ and for a holy life and a godly life. And it says in Philippians 3:15, you know, let us, as many as are mature, be like-minded. And if in any way you are otherwise minded, God will reveal this to you.
Mm-hmm.
What a liberating idea.
Amen. That's
that,
good.
You know, we don't have to force it and just squeeze it out. No, you're going to be godly. I'm going to be godly. Come on. It doesn't have to be a mad rush. Because if you're following God, if you're living by his word, if your heart seeks God and his ways and his mercy, he's going to eventually, I mean, over time, with the discipline, with walking it out, if it takes years, if it takes a few minutes, God will reveal his truth to you.
Amen.
From the inside.
Amen.
He will do it. He'll use things, but he does it.
And Ross, it's a great point. And if he'll do it for us, mm-hmm. isn't he going to do it for our kids?
Yeah.
Why does it always stop with us, you know? Why is it that our kids can't get it? And I think somewhere in here later I have it written, you know, in that kind of way that, well, I'll just save that for later because I do have it written in a different way. But amen. Amen. Parenting is not a series of dramatic confrontation confession events, right? So, and I love how he said confrontation-confession events. You're not going to confront your kids, and they're going to go, you're right. And it's not a series of those, of dramatic confrontation-confession events, but rather a lifelong process of incremental awareness and progressive change. And guys, I think it goes back to your comments you made earlier, Andrew, that especially for us Americans in this day and age, that can be highly frustrating. It's so anti our nature. Give it to me now. I want it now. I want it to happen now. I want it to be finished today. You know, God, I can't wait. I won't make it another day, God, if they keep like this. You know, that's the way we are. So on page 88, and I'll read this. This will probably be where we end today. Yeah, because we launch out into another thing here. But at the top of page 88. He says, a misunderstanding of what you've been called to as a parent will always set up unrealistic expectations of your children and frustrations as a parent that will tempt you to do and say things that you shouldn't do or say. So let me read that one more time. A misunderstanding of what you've been called to as a parent. So if you get out of this long view mindset, if your identity gets shifted, a misunderstanding of what you've been called to as a parent or not as an ambassador will always set up an unrealistic expectations of your children and frustrations as a parent that will tempt you to do and say things that you shouldn't do or say. And then we're going to go on from here and we're going to talk about what those things would be, how that happens. And I would add to this, it'll tempt you to do and say things that you shouldn't do or say, but I believe it can also destroy your resolve or make you an absolute tyrant, right? So it can destroy your resolve in that I give up. I can't do this anymore. I can't go on. And you see this in parents. You see this happen in their lives. And things just, after that, it's just absolute chaos. Boom. Because I don't care anymore. I can't do it anymore. Or you get shifted back into that thing, into the control thing of, okay, dagnabbit, that's it. We're done. And you just go into a mode where I will reign absolutely in this house and nothing is going to be outside of my control. There's, you know, and we're done. We're done with. So it can also lead to those things. So it's not just a momentary something that you say or do. I think it can have longer, it can have longer term impacts as well. So we're going to pause there. It's a good place to pause before we launch out into the next part of this. But anything you want to add?
We'll
close out
so.
There. Okay. So next time we're going to start out by talking about the blind leading the blind. So it'll hit home for us. So, Father, we thank you for this morning, God. And we thank you for this time. And God, I pray that none of us walk out of this place on any given Sunday thinking, oh my goodness, that's me, and I'm doomed, and I've blown it. God, I'm okay if that's where we start. God, I want us to all start there. Yeah, I've blown it. I've missed this. But God, I want us to all walk out what is continuously proclaimed throughout the Scripture and this study is that it's all about your grace. It's all about your work, Holy Spirit. It's all about what you're doing in us as parents, what you're doing in our kids, what you're doing in us as husbands, what you're doing in us as wives. And God, that we would walk humbly before you. And humble in such a way, not that we, some false humility where we just wallow in pity, and but God, that we would walk humbly before you, that we see it, we agree with you, we confess it, we say, yes, Lord, and we keep walking in the light as you're in the light. Being cleansed, being washed, being made different, God, that we would allow this process to happen in us, even as we work with you to cause it to happen in our children, Lord. We thank you and we love you. God, go with us now into this service, Father. Even with all this craziness, Father, go before us. Holy Spirit, you desire to work the same now as you always have, to pour out your gifts the same now as you always have, maybe all the more so. So let it be so now. Let us go in with hearts full of praise and worship, God. Let us go in, Lord, ready to speak, ready to pray, ready to serve, ready to do whatever it is you call us to do. And then, God, give us hearts to hear. Write it on our hearts. Stir us up. Move us out, God. Call us forward, Lord. We thank you and we love you. In Jesus' name.